Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on a truly fascinating journey into the world of one of modern art's most provocative and, I think, vital figures, the Chinese artist and activist Ai Weiwei. We're going to try and uncover some surprising facts and give you those aha moments you come here for. We've gathered a really compelling stack of sources about Ai Weiwei. I mean, this is a man who's entire life and career seemed defined by this commitment to political art.
Absolutely.
You see it in these breathtaking installations, sculptures, documentaries. Our mission today really is to give you a shortcut to understanding his unique journey. We want to pinpoint what really defines his work and then, maybe the fun part, explore the 10 most expensive pieces of his art ever sold at auction as of 2025.
What's so striking about him, I think, is how his personal history, and it's a story just deeply intertwined with political dissent, with resilience. It's not just background noise. It directly fuels his art. Every single piece isn't just, you know, aesthetically pleasing. It tells a story. It challenges assumptions, raises these uncomfortable but crucial questions about our world.
Absolutely. Yeah, his art isn't just something to sort of look at. It feels like an experience, a call to reflect. So get ready to discover not just beautiful and thought-provoking art, but the powerful, often defiant messages embedded within. Let's really unpack this. Okay, so to truly grasp the power behind Ai Weiwei's art, we have to start with the man himself. His life story isn't just an interesting biography.
No, not at all.
It reads like a dramatic novel,
right?
Deeply steeped in the turbulent political history of China. He was born in Beijing, 1957. His father, a king, was this renowned poet and actually a member of the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. But then, in this twist of fate that would define so much of Ai Weiwei's early life, just a year after he was born, his father got caught up in the anti-rightist campaign, which was this, brutal political movement to purge so-called right-leaning elements from the CCP, often with devastating consequences.
And this wasn't just some political inconvenience. It was profound trauma. The family was sent to a labor camp for 3 years. Then exiled to Shihezi, way out in northwest China. And this direct early experience of state repression, it just profoundly shaped Ai Weiwei's worldview. It fostered this deep skepticism towards authority.
You can see it running through everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's foundational. And it wasn't until Mao Zedong's death in 1976 that the family was finally allowed back to Beijing.
And it was there, just a couple of years later, that Ai Weiwei started forging his own path. He joined the Beijing Film Academy, studying animation, interestingly enough. But he wasn't just a student. He quickly gravitated towards the Stars Art Group, this experimental, mostly self-trained collective pushing for self-expression, artistic freedom.
Yeah, even then you see the beginnings of the activist, the questioner.
His journey then took this big international turn. 1981, he leaves China for the United States, studies initially in Philadelphia, San Francisco.
Before settling in New York City's East Village, which was just buzzing at the time.
Right. And his early years there were apparently quite a struggle. Odd jobs, selling street portraits, trying to make ends meet in that really competitive environment.
But those struggles were formative too, weren't they? It was during this time he started creating what we call conceptual art, using everyday objects.
Right. Can you maybe quickly explain conceptual art for anyone less familiar?
Sure. So conceptual art isn't primarily about the beauty or skill in making the object itself. It's more about the idea or the concept behind it. So using ordinary things like Ai Weiwei does stools, bikes, urns, allows him to infuse them with new political or social meaning. It makes his critiques incredibly relatable, powerful, even without traditional, say, painting or sculpting skills.
That makes sense.
And his decade in New York led to that really celebrated exhibition, New York Photographs, capturing the raw feel of that time.
Then his journey brought him back to China in 93. His father was ill, but he didn't just return himself. He brought, as one source put it, the sights, sounds, and attitude of the East Village art scene back with him. And he jumped right in, elevating other Chinese artists, starting new art groups. By 99, he'd even built his first architectural project, his studio home in northeast Beijing.
And this return wasn't just about art. It really marked a significant step up in his activism. He became much more vocal criticizing the government, which led to 2011. And as part of this wider crackdown on dissent, he faced direct consequences. Accused of tax evasion.
Right, the tax evasion.
Jailed for nearly 3 months, passport confiscated. And that period of direct confrontation with the state, it's absolutely crucial for understanding the urgency, the raw power in his later work.
His passport was finally returned in 2015, which led him to leave China again. Settled first in Berlin, then Cambridge in the UK.
And now Portugal, right, where he is today.
Exactly. It's just a life defined by movement, by questioning, by this unwavering commitment to his beliefs.
What's truly remarkable when you look at his whole life story is that his art is never abstract in a vacuum. It's so deeply autobiographical, intensely political. His experiences, child of a purged intellectual, experimental artist in the West, dissident challenging his home government, they give this undeniable visceral authenticity to his critiques. His life itself is, well, in many ways, his most powerful medium.
So, okay, with that incredible personal history as context, we start to see the threads weaving through his work. What are the defining characteristics? What makes an AI Weiwei piece uniquely his?
Well, at its core, I think his signature style comes from that dual identity. He is, first and foremost, a dissident artist. His art is this powerful vehicle for sharp social commentary, particularly about the Chinese regime, yes, but also human rights abuses globally. This isn't art for art's sake. It's art with a definite mission to speak truth to power.
And it's not just the message, right? The actual mediums he uses are crucial. You mentioned installations before. Sure. How do they work in his context?
Yeah, that's a great point. An installation for AI Weiwei isn't just a big sculpture. It's usually large scale, often designed for a specific space, engaging the whole environment. They're immersive experiences. And his unconventional life lets him skillfully blend influences Chinese homeland, contemporary European styles, creating these incredibly distinctive pieces. His work often gets described as big, bold, and political.
Like sunflower seeds.
Exactly like sunflower seeds. It perfectly captures that blend. Monumental scale, deep symbolism, and those potent political undercurrents. That's his signature style, really.
Okay, now for the part where we get really specific. We're going to delve into the 10 most expensive AI Weiwei pieces sold at auction as of 2025. And remember, these aren't just valuable objects. They're huge statements, profound reflections, often deliberate provocations. Get ready for some serious insights here. Let's kick it off with number one, his highest-selling piece, Circle of Animal Zodiac Heads. Fetched an astounding $4.32 million back in 2015 at Phillips London. What's the story with these bronze heads?
Right, so these masterful bronze heads, they're directly inspired by 18th-century artwork from Beijing's old summer palace, the Yuanmingguan Gardens. But Ai Weiwei isn't just copying history, he's actively recontextualizing it. He's using them to comment on Western imperialism.
How so?
Well, the originals, made by an Italian artist, Giuseppe Castiglione, were looted during the Second Opium War by British and French troops. So by recreating them, AIY forces us to confront how that historical trauma, that colonial ransacking, still shapes modern identity and power dynamics. He's asking, who really owns culture? Who owns history?
And fascinatingly, number two is another version, the gold bronze edition of the Zodiac Heads, sold for $3.69 million. Also at Phillips London in 2015. So he made eight versions.
Exactly. He made several sets. Each one is kind of a meditation on reclaiming this lost past. This particular edition uses gold bronze, making them even more striking. It really underscores this ongoing conversation about cultural reappropriation, national identity, turning a painful historical wound into a powerful contemporary statement.
Moving on to number three, Map of China. Sold for $2.5 million at Christie's in 2016. Now, a map of China, but this is way more than just geography, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's stunning and deeply symbolic. It takes inspiration from his homeland very literally, but profoundly. It's made from tealy wood, reclaimed from Qing Dynasty temple ruins.
Wow, reclaimed wood.
Yeah. And from the side, it looks like this gnarled tree trunk, beautiful in itself. But then its cross-section reveals this meticulously carved map of China. Critics see it as this powerful statement about the country's past and present, particularly the loss, the destruction on its relentless path to modernity. Four versions have sold, which shows how much that message resonates.
Okay, now for something incredibly provocative, really defining his early activist art, dropping a Han Dynasty urn went for $960,000 at Sotheby's London in 2016. I mean, dropping a 2,000-year-old urn sounds like pure vandalism to some people.
It does, and it's meant to provoke that reaction. This is a 1995 photography triptych, three photos showing him doing just that. But it's not just destruction for destruction's sake. It's a radical question. Are we so obsessed with revering the past, the artifact, that we ignore urgent needs and suffering in the present? It's his critique of prioritizing cultural heritage sometimes over actual citizens. It's defiant, pushes boundaries about what art even is. It first showed in New York in 2004, and yeah, it sparked huge conversation. Controversial, absolutely. Intentionally so. We'll see this theme again with colored vases.
And speaking of direct responses to authority, number five, He Ji. sold for $790,000 in 2018. The name Heejee sounds significant.
It absolutely is. Heejee in Mandarin sounds very similar to river crabs, but it's also internet slang for harmonious, which itself is a euphemism the government uses for censorship.
Wow.
Very. So this 2010 installation, it's made of 3,000 porcelain crabs, and it was a direct response to the government demolishing his Shanghai studio in retaliation for his criticism. The story goes the crabs were meant for a dinner party he'd organized there, but couldn't attend because he was under house arrest. So the massive crabs can symbolize corruption or maybe just individuals struggling against bureaucracy. It's subtle but undeniably powerful commentary on state repression.
Coming in at number six, we have the truly iconic sunflower seeds, sold for $782,000 at Sotheby's London in 2012. This is the huge Tate Modern installation, right? The one that really brought him massive attention.
Precisely. Displayed in the Turban Hall in London back in 2010, it became instantly famous just for the sheer scale and the quiet ambition of it. It's literally 100 million porcelain sunflower seeds, each one handcrafted in Jingdezhen, the historical center for porcelain.
100 million.
Yeah.
Handcrafted.
Yep.
And what's profound is how each unique seed represents an individual citizen in China. So it comments on individualism versus conformity, mass production, but also it's this powerful celebration of the seemingly insignificant, the potential within the masses. One ton of these seeds actually went up for auction, which is incredible in itself.
Okay, that brings us to number seven, the Coca-Cola vase. Sold for $665,000 at Phillips, New York in 2014. Coca-Cola on an ancient vase. That's a bold move.
It's a brilliant juxtaposition, isn't it? He takes a traditional Chinese urn, Neolithic or Han Dynasty usually, and carves the iconic Coca-Cola logo right onto it. It deliberately smashes together Eastern tradition and Western capitalist culture, a bit like Warhol soup cans, using everyday branding for a bigger cultural point.
So a critique of capitalism.
Partly, yes, but also a really poignant comment on how globalism literally carves itself into our lives, our traditions, changing them forever. It's about cultural penetration, how inescapable it is.
Next up, number eight, Forever Bicycles. Brought in $611,000 at Sotheby's Hong Kong in 2015. Bicycles as art. What's the connection here? Well, Forever, Yongju is this really famous Chinese bicycle brand started in the 1940s. For decades, it was the transport for ordinary workers before cars became common. So this installation made of hundreds, sometimes thousands, of welded bike frames, often forming these amazing abstract shapes, draws on that era. It reflects on technology, social change.
Nostalgia, maybe.
Yeah, there's nostalgia, but it's also about migration, hardship, the collective experience represented by this vanishing everyday object from China's recent history. It's a reflection on how modernization transforms and sometimes just erases the familiar.
And at number nine, another recontextualization of everyday items, grapes. Sold for $589,000 at Sotheby's Hong Kong in 2016.
Yeah, this one's complex in its subtlety. He takes these old wooden stools, about 35 of them from the Qing Dynasty, really common household items, and fuses them together. He shapes them into a form resembling a bunch of grapes, a motif you often see in, say, Renaissance still life paintings.
Ah, that East-West connection again.
Exactly. Past and present, East and West, repurposing ordinary historical items into new forms to comment on abundance, maybe the overwhelming nature of consumption that's marked the modern era.
Finally, rounding out our top 10 is colored vases. Sold for $582,000 at Sotheby's New York in 2014. You mentioned this earlier, another controversial piece involving ancient ceramics.
Indeed. Very controversial, similar in spirit to dropping a Han Dynasty urn. Here, he takes actual Han Dynasty ceramics, these are over 2,000 years old, and dips them in bright industrial paint.
Just covers them in paint.
Covers them. Bold, vibrant colors. Again, some see it as cultural vandalism, but it's a powerful statement about the collision of history and modernity. And it's also about censorship defacing culturally significant vases like this carries severe punishment in China. So Ai Weiwei is deliberately questioning, why do we attach so much value to these relics, sometimes seemingly at the expense of living, breathing citizens today? He invites us, maybe forces us, to see these historical items in a new, perhaps more vital context.
Wow. What an incredible journey through Ai Weiwei's life and his most impactful and valuable works. It really gives you this profound sense of the breadth and depth of his artistic and activist spirit. Every piece feels like a chapter in his ongoing story, doesn't it?
It really does. And what becomes clear when you step back and connect all these pieces is how his work continually blends past and future, personal and political. He delivers these visually striking and deeply thoughtful takes on modernity, history, technology. It's not just about what he creates, is it? It's the critical dialogue he starts. The urgent questions he compels us, forces us to ask.
Yeah, from that iconic Tate Modern installation that brought him huge recognition here in the UK, to his more defiant acts against authority, his diverse work, just fueled by these unwavering convictions, has truly made him a formidable, really an indispensable voice in contemporary art worldwide. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of AYY artist, activist, a true firebrand. We really hope this has given you that shortcut to being well-informed about his incredible contributions and the powerful messages embedded in his art. And as you reflect on his art and activism, here's maybe a provocative thought for you to mull over. What historical relics in your own culture, maybe even in your own life, are we perhaps valuing over the living, breathing issues of today? And what acts of recontextualization, like AYY performs, might provoke new understanding for you? Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep taking those deep dives.